I am higher ground. I am pressing home to no heights I am falling every day. Still praying, yes, I am on earth now. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and made of heaven stable in a higher hand that I am. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground. My heart has no desire to stand. Rise and fierce dismay. Thou some may dwell where is above. My prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lift me up, let me stand by faith on the table in higher than I have found. Lord, plant my feet. To scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I come. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up. By faith on heaven's table, where I have prayed, and I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table. The higher point than I have found. Lord, plant my feet to higher ground.
Let's bow heads. Father, we do come unto thee, Lord. Father, we bring this song up unto thee as our prayer upon this day. Father, we have no desire to stay where doubts arise or fears dismay. But Father, we just want to rise up on wings of faith upon this day to come unto that place where all things are well. Father, just in your presence, Lord, just as we sit at your feet, Father, as you minister and commune with our souls, Father, it doesn't matter the circumstances of life. It doesn't matter, Lord, all that the enemy could do. Father, though the battle would rage, but Father, as long as our souls are in harmony with you, Father, we know that all is well. And that's how we're looking unto thee upon this day. For Lord, in your great mystery purpose, Lord, you've ordained that, Father, through the preaching of the word, Father, you would speak unto us. Father, it's the strangest of ways, but Lord, Father, we just want you to have your will upon this day. That as you open up the holy word, as you open up the message of the hour, Father, we just want you, for your glory, to take it, Lord, to anoint it, Father, to bring your presence upon your word, that it may become hidden manna, Father, that it may become food to us, like in the days of Elijah, that Father would put a strength in us for the journey, Lord, that you may go in the strength of this thy meat that you have given unto us, Lord, for many days would be our desire. Father, the prophet told us we're living in the most sinful age, the most difficult age, Lord, but Father, you've granted unto us grace. Father, you've granted unto us mercy, Lord, with the resources that you've given unto us, Father, but we're not outside of you, though we may handle these things as men and women, as your sons and daughters. Father, outside of your mercy, Father, outside of you mixing, Lord, the grace and mercy of your Spirit, of your unction in these things, Lord, it doesn't do for us what it's supposed to do. So we're looking unto thee, Father. We want to do what we can do, but Father, it's what you can do that will make the difference, Lord. So please bless your people upon this day, I ask and pray. Shut us in with thee in this place upon this day. Father, in this darkness that is all around, Lord, may you just shut us in with thee, Lord. Let the angels be, Father, here at their post of duty upon this day. Father, let your glory, Lord, let your grace overshadow this place, Lord. Let us, Father, just rise up in thee, Lord, to the place where there's an atmosphere, Father, that Satan is unable to work as our desire. Minister grace, Lord. Even prayer has been made for them that have traveled to Italy, Lord. Would you pray for our brother Kingsley? Lord, you pray for his wife. Pray for, Lord, his new home, that you'd bless him and establish him and lead him and guide him and bless him. Father, let them be fruitful. Guide their footsteps, we'd pray. And the saints that have gone, they give them a blessing upon this day. May they be a blessing as well. Bring them safely back, we ask and pray. But Father, we're looking unto thee now. Grant us wisdom, mercy, and grace. Father, we consecrate ourselves to thee. Just wanting to get ourselves out the way. Just wanting to commune with you upon this day. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Guide us in all things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, we do greet you this morning in Jesus' name. As you know, quite a number of saints went to Brother Kingsley's wedding in Italy. So I'm sure they must be having a wonderful time there. I'm sure they're having better weather than us across in Italy. Just want to greet our visitor, Stephen, a friend of Brother Oren. God bless you, Stephen. Nice to be with you. And Sister Jessica from Brazil. We don't have to clap for Sister Jessica. She's our sister. It's good to see you. God bless you, sister. It's nice to see you once again. Also, please, let's remember Brother Shep. I'll just pray for him now when you finish reading the word. He's not feeling well, Brother Shepherd. So he's at home. He's not well. Let's read the word, then we'll pray for our brother. Let's open Mark chapter 7 from verse 24 up to verse 30. Good familiar scripture. It was a time when Jesus wanted to go and get a rest, and he went into a certain place and didn't want to tell the people where he was. But then there came a certain woman to him that had a need, and it changed the whole situation, and it's in God's word. Mark 7:24, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into a house, and would have no man know it, but it could not be hid. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And she answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Then he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Let's also read from the book of John, chapter 11. This is the resurrection of Lazarus. John chapter 11. We'll read from verse 17. This is when Jesus came back. John 11:17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had been lying in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Let's pray. Father, we do pray for Brother Shepherd upon this day. Just pray that you'd raise him up. Pray that you'd visit him, Lord. Just pray that you'd minister your healing virtue, healing touch to him. May you be his portion. Father, bless your word now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Saints, you may be seated. If we take our thought today, if I had to give it a title, I just would give it a title of Obey Your Faith. And you'll see it as we go. Just why we maybe put that particular title. But there's certain seasons in your life. There's certain seasons as an individual, certain seasons as a church where you need to obey your faith. Now there's so many other influences that can influence us at any one time. You know, Brother Wilmore was praying about that. You know, the battle can get thick sometimes. The enemy can try so many different tactics to divert, to frustrate, to pull our attention here and there. But there's certain times where you just need to obey your faith. You know, you just need to do what your faith is telling you to do, not to do what your reasoning or your understanding is telling you to do, but to do and to act according to the impulse of your faith. And that's what you will see with this particular woman of Canaan. She obeyed her faith. Now, there were so many other things that could have hindered her from getting to where God wanted her to get to, which was also the place that she desired to get to. She was seeking for an answer at that time. She was seeking deliverance for her daughter. But there were so many other things that seemed contrary to her that you would have thought she was never going to get there. But she obeyed her faith. She didn't obey anything else. She obeyed her faith each step of the way. And that brought her through to final victory. And that is a real key point at certain times. Because, you know, the prophet speaks of it many times, that faith knows no defeat. Now, faith doesn't know defeat. Because faith is born of God. That's the key thing about faith. Faith isn't born of the will of man. Faith is God speaking to you. Faith is a revelation. Faith is when God speaks personally to you. And the reason why we find this Syrophoenician woman, that she obtained the victory, is that she followed the faith which didn't start with her. This entire story didn't start with her. She heard about Jesus. God somehow brought the word to her. That Jesus was there and of the different things that he had done. And there was something supernatural in that. Right from the beginning when she heard about Jesus, God did something for her. Something was born in her. It was a supernatural something, but it started off in a small way. But it was real to her. She started to feel inside of herself different than she had felt before. Maybe she had been to many physicians. Maybe she had been to different people to pray for her daughter. She couldn't get a relief. Now maybe she was, her mind was going here, her mind was going there. She was trying to think of this and that. Maybe she'd been tossing in her bed at night, wondering how can this situation change. But then God drew near to her. And that was the beginning of the story. God spoke to her heart. And now something was born inside of her. That was faith. God spoke to her and all of a sudden something came into her that she didn't have before. You know, it was maybe something she couldn't reason, she couldn't understand. No, she couldn't put a finger upon why she felt this way, that there was a possible solution to the situation that she was in, that there was some way that her daughter could be delivered. But this was something which had begun with a visitation of God to her soul. God had drawn near to her in his mercy because God wanted to change the situation. So God spoke inside of her soul. When she heard about Jesus, when somebody witnessed to her, the Spirit of God got into whatever conversation that it was, whatever testimony that she heard, and something caught fire in her. A little bit, something came to life inside of her. And maybe where she had been hopeless for a long period of time, maybe where she had been desperate and maybe frustrated, and maybe many times she had thought, this is no solution, my daughter's going to perish with this. The prophet tells us the daughter had epilepsy. No, she was cast about by a demon of epilepsy. And maybe the mother could see, you know, my daughter, if this continues on, she doesn't have much time left. It's a desperate situation. Something needs to be done. But I've tried everything that I can do. And that's when God came on the scene. And this was a visitation of God in the beginning, in that God spoke to her soul. God spoke to her and said, follow your faith. Obey your faith. I know how to bring this situation all the way through. Now, what I really find so powerful about this particular story is the prophet preached about this every time he preached the message perseverance. You know, and the prophet preached the message perseverance, I think 12 times in 2 years. And it was in about 62 up to the middle of 64. You're going to see he preached it, I think, 12 times. I went and listened to several of them over the weekend, and I got some of the books of perseverance. And when you go and read, you'll see the prophet is trying to explain to people spiritual principles here. He takes the story and he's trying to speak in the message, perseverance, about a very important spiritual principle if you're seeking for a change in your situation. If you're seeking for God to bring something to birth in your experience again, if you're seeking for a deliverance, if you're seeking for healing, if you're seeking for revival, if you're seeking for whatever it is, the prophet here, it's such a masterpiece how he takes these messages and he's addressing people to try to teach a very important spiritual principle about obtaining spiritual victory. Yeah, and it's going to show us that it's not enough just for the Lord to visit your soul and speak to you. That's the beginning of it. But as a believer, you've got to have perseverance. Amen. Now, this is a great missing element in 21st century Christianity. It's perseverance. It's for people to really persevere. That when God visits you, God speaks to you, God starts something inside of you, there's very few people now that are willing to go through the opposition, that are willing to go through the battle that has to come. From the time that that hope is born in your soul, from the time that God speaks to your heart, to the time that you see the fruits, to the time that you see the actual victory, it's a battlefield. It's a battle from that point when God gives you the promise to the time that you receive the promise. That work that God has done in you, that visitation of His grace when He comes and He speaks to your soul, that has to go through a gauntlet of the enemy's forces. It's going to have to go through a lot of things to be buffeted and to be tried, and the enemy is going to try to do a lot of things to try to stop that which God has started in you coming to the fullness of what God desires it to become. You know, and I think that is the key. That is why we have to have perseverance. Now, the word perseverance means continued effort to continue or to achieve something despite difficulties, despite failure or opposition. So it's continued effort. So it doesn't matter about the failures that are going to come, doesn't matter about the opposition that's going to come, doesn't matter about the discouragement that's going to hit you, doesn't matter about all the unexpected things that are going to be taking place all around you. If you have perseverance, that something inside of you, you're going to continue with that thing. And that's what I say, you've got to obey your faith. When God speaks something to your soul, obey that faith. Don't pay attention too much to all these other things out there. Don't look at all the circumstances and the situations that the devil is going to bring to try to hinder that potential from becoming what it's supposed to become. You've got to just focus on that faith. That's something that God has spoken to you. That's something that God has energized, has brought to life inside of your soul. It may be small, it may seem insignificant, but to you, because it comes from God, it's real. It's a substance. There's something speaking to you saying there's something different now. Things can change in my life. I know if this is something telling me that it doesn't have to stay this way anymore. That's what faith is. And faith is a revelation of God's grace to you. It's when God looks down in your situation, He sees your situation, and He doesn't want you to stay in that situation. So somehow He brings His word to you. He brings His quickened word. And God comes and visits your soul. And something sparks. Something comes to life. Something enters in there now, which maybe you haven't had for quite some time. You've now entered the battlefield. You've now entered into the real spiritual warfare that is going to ensue whenever God does the work. Like we say, when Jesus was born, it didn't take long for Herod to make his law, kill all the children under 2 years old. No, because the moment God does something, Satan has to counterattack. Now that's got to be, that's the principle of warfare wherever you go. The moment you see your enemy moving and maybe you see he's going to take an advantage of us, you've got to quickly formulate some strategy or plan either to deflect him, divert him, you know, stop him in his tracks. You can't allow that to continue on. How much more the devil? The moment the devil sees God trying to do something in you, the moment he sees God trying to do something in me, he's never going to leave it like that. And when the opposition comes in, and when the sickness comes in, when the frustration comes in, and when all of the storms start to break upon you at that time, you know what it is? It's a sure sign that God is doing something. Yeah. It's a sure sign that you're on the right track. Because the devil wasn't doing that to you all along. Now, when you're at ease in Zion and you got your feet up and you're drinking your cup of tea and you're not fighting the battle anymore, you're not trying to get your inheritance anymore. You're not looking at things with like a dissatisfied feeling inside of your soul. When you've just given in to the status quo and say, this is the way that it is, this is the way that it's always going to be. Now, the devil's going to leave you like that. He's satisfied enough for you in that kind of a spiritual condition. But the moment something starts to move supernaturally in your bosom once again, the moment something starts to stir inside of you, and you start to think of the potential of what it could possibly be, now you start looking and saying, but hey, God could actually change my situation here. Now God, there's something inside of me that tells me it doesn't really have to stay like this. You've just declared war. And welcome to the battlefield. Welcome to the battlefield of life. And that's why the prophet says it in this message, perseverance. This is 1964, June the 19th. He says, now, perseverance, according to Webster, means to be persistent. It means to be persistent in trying to make a goal. So as a believer, we've got to have a goal. We've got to have an objective. What are we trying to achieve? Like we said last week, what is your immediate objective? Now, what is it that you really, if you look inside of your life, that God is trying to deal with inside of your life at this time? Now, that's got to be your goal. The moment you set a goal, in order to achieve that goal, one prerequisite is perseverance, especially spiritually. You're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to keep that goal before you. Now, if this was just born of your own desire, if it was just born of the will of man, man can snuff it out. Now, man can stop the progress, man can stop the momentum. But if this was really born of a visitation of God to your soul, nothing can stop God. Faith knows no defeat. There's nothing can stop that faith. As long as you obey that faith, as long as you feed that faith, you feed that experience, as long as you just continue with that as your focus, that as your goal, that I'm following this leadership of God because I can see God wants to do something here. Doesn't matter the opposition, as long as you obey your faith. But Satan's going to want to try to get you distracted and get you caught up in this, that, and the other. And reason about this and reason about that. And get yourself caught up and maybe think affairs that don't belong to you. But there's certain times, saints, where you can feel it inside of yourself that at certain times you need to focus. At certain times you need to gird up your loins and obey your faith. At certain times, God, you can sense, has drawn near to you once again, and he's set before you an open door, and he's encouraging you along the way. Do it with all your heart. Go in this thy might, like the Lord said to Gideon. Don't be sidetracked. Don't be taken off course at that kind of a time. That's the tactics of the enemy, and we need to discern and recognize that, and we need to keep our focus on the goal. Keep your focus on the prize. Keep before you. Keep coming back to ask yourself, in this season, what does God want me to focus on? In this season, what is God trying to do in my life? Yeah. And follow that through until God achieves the purpose that he started that work for. Because if he started the work, he wants to bring it to completion. He will be faithful to finish the work. Now, if I started the work in you, if you started the work in me, if it was just emotion, if you're just reasoning with one another, if there's nothing supernatural in the work, it's going to come to nothing. Now you're going to run out of steam. You're going to run out of momentum. You're going to come down the way. You're going to put the sword down, put the shield down. You're going to give up in the midst of battle. You're going to turn your back and off you go back like Orpah did. But Ruth, something had begun inside of her which didn't start with her. God had done something inside of her. And all she had to do was obey that faith. All she had to do was just focus on that and feed that experience. And not allow herself to be caught to the left hand or the right. And it was going to bring her through to the purpose that God had started the work for. And every single time it's going to be the same. So the prophet says, you are perseverant when you are persistent. Now this is a key. And we know it. To be persistent. Oh, friends, it's so easy to be disappointed. To start well, get disappointed, and then that never comes to birth. It never comes to the fullness of what it's supposed to come to. But God doesn't want it to be like that. God wants us that when He begins something, when He draws near to you, He draws near to me, He wants to achieve His thoughts and His purpose in that visitation. But there's a certain principles that you're going to have to follow. That's why He says, now all Christians must be perseverant. Every Christian's going to have to be perseverant. Now, for any victory that you've obtained in your spiritual life, go back and look at it. You were perseverant at that time. You were determined at that time. Now, and every time that you allowed the devil to knock you down and things never came to where they were supposed to be, it's because you weren't perseverant. Now, things had gone down a certain line, things had moved in a certain channel, but it never came all the way. But I really do believe, like He's teaching us, all Christians must be persistent. And the only way you're able to do this is first to have faith in what you're trying to do. So you must look at it and say, is this God's will? Now, does God want me to stay down in the valley like this? Does God want me to stay confused in my spiritual experience like this? If I look at the church, does God want us to stay where we are? No. You've got to have faith to say, God is drawing near because He doesn't want things to stay the way that they are. And you've got to have faith in this goal that you're trying to achieve. If you're trying to get things to a place once again that God can be glorified, that God can move, that God can work, that's got to be your goal. And you've got to have faith in that goal. You've got to say, what I'm putting my effort into now, what I'm pouring my prayers into now, this is the will of God. Now, this is the right thing that God wants me to do at this time. And you persist because of that. Now, the prophet says, but when you really know it's the truth, nothing's going to stop you. You're really perseverant then. You know, so there's something about the truth. There's something about the leadership of God in the lives of His children. Now that you know when God is at work inside of your life. And He says, and men of all ages that's ever been able to do anything, they had faith in what they were doing and they were perseverant. So those are the two principles that he really gets down to show us. And then, you know, if you've read these messages, you've listened to them, He speaks about a lot of different people. But the ones that I like are the two that we read about. He speaks about the Syrophoenician woman and He speaks about Martha. You know, both of these, there's real some good things to learn from them. And this woman now, the Syrophoenician woman, she was a Gentile. The prophet actually says this was the first Gentile on whom a miracle was done. And God, there was something in her approach, there was something in the way the story unfolded itself, that God wanted to take that and put it in His word. You know, so that we can learn from that, so that we can look at that and say, now there's something that pleased God in this woman. Now, she didn't have a privileged background, she didn't have privileged circumstances that she was approaching Jesus in. Everything seemed to be against her, but she obtained something tremendous at the end of this. So there's something about the way that she went through this process to bring her to the end, to achieve the purpose, which there's things there for us to emulate, obviously. And that's why the prophet would always take these things and use them in the message perseverance. Now he says she was a Greek, but she heard about Jesus. And he says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So she heard about Jesus. She heard about what He was doing. She heard maybe about what He was doing for other people at that time. And that something dawned inside of her, and she knew that if He's doing it for others, He'd also do it for me. There's no reason why if He's doing that over there, that He's not going to come and do the same for me. If I just follow the same principles they follow. Because God is not a respecter of persons. So when she first heard about Jesus, when somebody came and was moved of the Spirit to come and witness to her about whatever Jesus was doing. Maybe Jesus had cast out a spirit of epilepsy somewhere else. Yeah, and that struck her. Maybe her friend came and told, you know, I heard a story about this rabbi called Jesus, and he's going around doing works that have never been heard of before. And I heard he cast a demon out of an epileptic girl. And something struck her heart. Faith comes by hearing, and faith rose up inside of her. This was a supernatural something. Faith is not natural. Faith is not when you reason yourself into something. Faith is not when you educate yourself into something. Faith is when the Spirit of God gets into His Word. And God comes and brings that Word to you. And personally inside of yourself, there's something in that Word that takes life. And you look at it and say, my, I've read that many times before. But it's never been real like the way that I'm living it now. It's like the Holy Ghost is brooding upon that promise at that time. It's like God has drawn near and is overshadowing a certain something. And when you get yourself around that place in the Word, there's a certain something that starts to take place. There's a certain life. There's a certain virtue. There's a certain reality. There's a certain communion and fellowship. Something, when you start fellowshipping around that, something starts to open up spiritually for you that maybe hasn't opened up for some time. All believers know what I'm talking about. And those kind of times, why is God drawing near to that particular portion of the Word? Why is God trying to persuade you and encourage you through that portion of the Word? The prophet says, whatever God can persuade your heart to believe, that's yours. He wants to persuade your heart to believe because faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come from nowhere else. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So God comes down and He anoints and He quickens and He puts His own Zoe life inside of His Word and He opens that Word to you at that time. And all of a sudden you're looking at that Word and you say, this is different. Now don't go too far away from that at that time. Don't jump somewhere else and go and listen to something else. Stay there. There's a virtue. He's trying to persuade you of something. He's trying to lead your soul to believe something. So stay in that particular portion of His Word. Because obviously for Him to anoint that, God has a desire to fulfill that promise in your life at that time. God wants to bring that to pass. And as you feed upon it, as you fellowship upon that portion, that promise, it starts becoming more and more real. You start seeing yourself more and more in that situation. You start becomes a substance to you now, whereas before it was a nice story in the Bible. It was something that you could have quoted to people, you know. But now all of a sudden there's something different about God's Word. And that's what happened with this woman when she heard. Something started to change inside of her. Something started to come to life. And the prophet says, somehow faith finds a source that others don't see. So there may have been a lot of people there that day when this woman heard about Jesus. But it did something for her that it didn't do for other people. She found a source, something struck her soul. She found a source of hope. She found a source of comfort. She found a source that something rose up inside of her that maybe the rest of the people around there didn't catch. Maybe the rest were saying, oh, we've seen these kind of rabbis before. They're just here for the money, whatever it is. But it was different for her. From that day when she heard it, something struck. And she couldn't get away from it. Maybe she went home that night and she lay in her bed. She couldn't get away from that. God kept bringing this and God kept anointing. As she dwelt upon it, something started to rise up inside of her. And then she'd go and she'd look at her daughter. And then it would come back to her what she had heard. And she started to put these two things together. And she started to say, there's a chance here. Maybe there's an opportunity. Maybe the situation, maybe the circumstance can change. But she had found a source that other people didn't find. It was faith. It was God had opened a channel to her soul. And God had now started to communicate His secrets, His purposes, His desires to her at that time. And friends, any testimony, any deliverance, anything good inside of your spiritual life, it always starts off the same way. It always starts off in that kind of a way. So the prophet says she had many hindrances, this little Greek woman. Now obviously it has to be like that. You know, the moment you receive that faith, something rises up inside of you. Hindrances have to rise up as well. She had many hindrances, the prophet says, but her faith didn't have any. There was nothing in her faith that was going to be hindered. Because that was born of God. But there was a lot in her circumstances that were going to try to hinder her. A lot in the events that were taking place around her that were going to try to hinder her. The prophet says, faith doesn't have any hindrances. There's nothing can hinder faith. Amen. And I don't care what anybody else says. Nothing hinders faith. Amen. Somebody might have said to her, you're a Greek and he's a Jew. That was the first thing. Notice they might have said that. You're not in his class of people. You have a different skin color from him. They're a different race. Now there were going to be a lot of people when she started maybe to speak to her friends around her and say, you know, I've heard about this man called Jesus. I wonder if I can just get to him. You know, maybe something can be done for my daughter. And she was desperate at that time. But then Mr. and Mrs. Critic, they have to speak as well. No, you have to have Mr. Skeptic, Mr. Unbeliever, you know, the ones the prophet speaks about. And those people started to speak to her now, not even realizing maybe what they're saying. And they started to say, but hey, you're Greek. He's a Jew. You know, the Jews have nothing to do with us Gentiles. We're dirty in their sight. Do you think you can go to a rabbi, a holy man like that? Do you think you can receive something from him? No, he's doing that for his people. If you want to get something, you go to our temple here. Now, the way you've always been brought up, this is the answer. And she might have said, but I've been every week, every service to the temple, but nothing's ever changed. But ever since I heard about this man, something started to rise up inside of me. There's something different about this. And they would have said, forget about it. You're wasting your time. How are you ever going to find where that man is? But faith is persistent. Faith gives you perseverance. And as long as she continued to obey that faith, it was going to take her from where she was and bring her to where Jesus was. That was the first step that she needed to go. The prophet says, still, that didn't bother her at all. My, that's why there's something in this woman to emulate. There's something in this woman with her lack of religious education, her lack of religious background, but she had a spiritual reality. There was something in her which you could see, yeah, there's something real here. There's something that's happened to her. He said, people might have said to her, he's just another fanatic that's raised up. It's like what people say about the message of the hour. Now, when you start believing the message, and you start seeing the pillar of fire, and you start seeing Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, you start seeing the Logos manifesting himself in our age, oh, you're going to find a lot of people are going to rise up and say, that man was a false prophet. And all these kind of things. But if God has visited your soul, if it's God who drew near to you and revealed to you, this message is his message for this day, faith knows no defeat. Now, your reasoning sometimes may go left, right, and center. The devil may try to persuade you of all manner of things by the people around and about you, but obey your faith. That's all you got to do. Just keep obeying your faith, and God will confirm your faith. But it's when we start to lean on our reasoning, start to lean on our understanding, get ourselves on the devil's grounds and go and spend all the time on the devil's grounds, you put yourself in a lot of trouble. You put a lot of additional complication into the process that you weren't supposed to put into the process. Just focus on your faith. Just focus on that which God has ignited inside of your soul. That which God has drawn near and has started inside of your experience once again. Let that be your primary focus. Let everything else be secondary and feed that, obey that, fellowship with that, and obey that faith. Where that faith is leading you, you just keep following where it's going to lead you to. It's going to take you through every discouragement. It's going to take you through every disappointment. And it's going to bring you to the place where God wants to bring you, which is to see the fruits of that faith. The prophet says, sure, they have all kinds of bogus dollars, but there's a real one somewhere that it's made off of. Now the devil will tell you this is false and what this happened and there was Jim Jones here and there was, you know, Jimmy Swagger did this and all that. And you say, yes, the prophet said yes. There's got to be a lot of counterfeit dollars, but there's the real genuine coin that all of those things were made off of. And when God draws near to your heart, God's never going to lead you to anything but except for the truth. Your faith, your genuine faith, if God has started that work inside of you, that faith only recognizes the truth. Your faith, if you obey it, it'll continue to lead and guide you in all truth. That's what it's sent for. The prophet says it might have been another group. Maybe some woman stood on the corner saying, Martha. And he says, I hope there's no Martha here. Your husband will leave you as sure as you go down to that meeting. People might have said, but you know your husband. If you're going to go and follow this man called Jesus, this Jewish rabbi, you know your husband. Your husband's going to leave you. It wasn't an easy situation to be in. But she obeyed her faith. She didn't look at that and say, oh, you know, yeah, maybe I need to be a little bit careful the way that I'm handling this situation. Yeah, maybe she said, okay, I'll be careful, I'll be respectful, but I'm going to obey this faith. I'm going to follow this leadership through. And she was perseverant. The prophet says she was going anyhow because faith had done, took a hold. Faith knows no hindrance. Faith had caught. Something spiritual, supernatural had happened inside of her. And she knew it. She knew, my religion's never done this to me. My religion has never put this something inside of me that sharing about this man Jesus has done. This has opened something to me that I never had before. And then she would look at all these people and say, they mean well, but they're trying to rob me of the one hope that I have. If I listen to these people, what it's going to do? It's going to keep me in the same situation that I've always been. I don't want to listen to these things. I want to obey my faith. I want to continue in this channel that's opened up to me. I've never had a channel like this open up to my soul before. But something's opened up to me at this time. It's a channel of reality. It's a channel that gives me a confidence that something good's going to take place. And she needed to stay in that channel. And saints, we need to stay in that channel. We need to obey our faith at this time. Don't listen to anything else. Just obey your faith. Just get quiet before the Lord. Just get prayed up. And whatever He speaks to your soul, you just keep following that thing through. And when the disappointment comes and this and that comes to knock you down, get up, dust yourself down, get yourself into the secret place of the Most High, wait upon the Lord, renew your strength, and then follow your faith again. Just get back in course and follow your faith. And friends, it's never going to disappoint you. God will never lead you to something that He doesn't intend to give to you. Why would God persuade your soul for something He doesn't want to give you? But if God is persuading you for a full restoration in your spiritual life, obey your faith until you see the full restoration. Even if you're hindered here and hindered there, get up again, dust yourself down, set your face towards the promise, and obey your faith. And one thing that's going to help you, find other people that are also obeying their faith at that time. Make a covenant of prayer. Make a covenant of fellowship at that kind of a time with other people that are like-minded, with other people that are also seeking to obey their faith at that time. Oh, it'll help you, friends. It'll really, really help you. The prophet says, when she finally comes down, said she had to break through all of these gates. All the critics, all the laugh-ats, all the husband will put you away, your fellowship will be taken from you from the church. You'll have to find somewhere else, you'll be a castaway, you'll be called a holy roller. You know, all the things that people say. I mean, when I first became a believer, my dad told me, if you're baptized again, out the house. But you have to obey your faith. Hallelujah. You have to obey your faith. You do it respectfully. You don't have to make a big fuss about it, but you obey your faith. And God brings it out well in the end. Amen. Yeah, you can have your own testimonies as well of the different things that you were told, that if you continue going to that church or you continue following that Jesus, whatever, if you don't come back to the religion of your father and your mother and your grandfather and your great-grandfather, God's going to curse you and all these things. What did you do at that time? Did you listen to all of that? No, you obeyed your faith. Amen. And that's why you're here today. So let's use the same principle. Principles don't change. Follow the same principle in your current situation. Just keep obeying your faith. The prophet says that didn't mean a thing to her because she'd already seen God. She had never yet seen Jesus. She had never yet come into His presence. But faith is the substance. God had spoken to her spiritually, had opened her spiritual eyes. She could now see God in a way. She could see the promise in a way that she had never seen it before. The prophet says she had already seen God. Oh, friends, that's what faith does to you. Faith gives you spiritual sight. That you can see things at that time that people around and about you can't see. You can see a victory. You can see things changing. You can see God performing His promises. Other people will be saying things will never change. Yeah, you'll never change in your life. Yeah, I've seen you trying to reform yourself so many times before. But if God is the one who's come and visited your soul, you've got a different sight now. The prophet says faith has a source that others don't have. It opens up a source that you keep feeding it and you keep drinking from that source. It's going to keep doing something to you to give you a reality, a continual reality, that people around you, good meaning people, don't have at that time. Don't fuss with people. Just obey your faith. Just progress onwards in those things. The prophet says she knew that others had been healed. So why couldn't her daughter be healed? I mean, if God is so real, or if He was so real in the days of your youth, He's never changed. If God was real before, He's still real now. If God is real to certain people at this time, yeah, follow your faith, obey your faith, and God will bring you to the same reality as well. If God comes to remind you of that, to say, I'm blessing these people, I'm blessing these people, I also want to bless you. Yeah? I delivered her daughter from epilepsy, I delivered that man's son from epilepsy, I can do the same for your daughter as well. You know, God is trying to just encourage her in that kind of a way. The prophet says, there you are. She came through. And that's the thing. You're going to have to come through a lot of different things. You're going to have to go through a lot of barricades and a lot of, you know, briar patches and a lot of valleys maybe along the way. A lot of rough parts in the road. But just keep obeying that faith. God will keep ministering to you everything that you need. As long as you just keep walking on, keep staying in that place that God is working with you at that particular time. He says, finally, she arrived at the feet of Jesus. Now that's where the Bible starts now. She arrives at the feet of Jesus. And notice what a shock. Many people think just because they can get there, that's all there is to it. So she thinks, if I can just get that man called Jesus, it's over. And she gets to Jesus and she gets a disappointment. Because the Bible says, she says, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the Bible says, Jesus never answered her a word. Hey, to the outward man, that was a disappointment, friends. To her natural feelings, her natural temperament she was born with, that wasn't an easy thing to bear. But faith doesn't know defeat. That faith inside of her, it kicked in again. I said, okay, I've come to him. Though he is not speaking to me now, I'm not giving up. I'm going to continue to obey my faith. Because if he did it for others, he's going to do it for me. I'm going to be on his hands until he does it for me. Friends, I remember reading about the Welsh revival when one man was praying in a certain place and he was saying, Lord, bring us revival. And he was praying and in the end he got up and says, God, we are on your hands. God, your reputation is at stake. Because Lord, you promised you have to keep your word. And then things started to move. Yeah, you see, he obeyed his faith. And he just reminded God. He was persevering. Though they had prayed for some time and nothing seemed to move. You know, faith doesn't know defeat. Faith brings perseverance. The prophet says that she arrived there. People think that's all that we need to do is get there to his feet. He says, but you've just started then. So you'll maybe be out of the spirit of prayer. You're really out of the spirit in your life. You start, let me fast a few days. Let me get myself back in tune with God. You start getting yourself to the place the word is speaking to you again. Prayer is becoming a pleasure to you once again. You've now started the battle. You haven't received the victory yet. You've come to his feet. You've come to the place you can speak to him. You've come to the place you know that he's near. But she hadn't yet finished the course. There were still many things, even when she got to that place, that were going to try to test and try her faith. But the good thing about it, Jesus had a purpose in what he was doing. Jesus was trying to bring her to a certain place. So when she comes and she says, thou son of David, please have mercy. You know, my daughter's vexed with a grievous devil. He never answered her a word. That's a stumbling block to a lot of people. Those are not easy situations. You pray and you get yourself to the Lord and say, please, Lord, overcome. You come for prayer, the situation gets worse. It gets worse. And you look and say, but hey. And if you're not careful, if you listen to your feelings at that time, that's going to be the end of that process there. But you've got to just go back to him once again like she did. Bring yourself back into his presence once again. She was persevering. She wasn't going to give in. She had a goal. She had something she was seeking. She knew, this never began with me. God somehow spoke to me. And God would never speak to me of something he doesn't want to give me. And so she persevered. The prophet says, what a disappointment it was. So Jesus said to her, I'm not even sent to your race. Remember Jesus said it. Jesus says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Hey, and now she's there. Now maybe the devil's saying, but your friends told you. Your friends back there told you he's a Jew, you're a Greek. You said the reasoning started coming. It was going to be easy for her at that kind of a time to get deflated, get discouraged, and walk on back into her defeated situation once again. Don't do that, friends. Rather die on the battlefield. Now there come certain times the prophet says you need to be like Patrick Henry to say, give me liberty or give me death.
Hallelujah.
You need that. You need to come to that time. So there's no option going back there. Going back there is not an option. Friends, I don't want to go back to that old condition. I don't want that. I don't want to go back to darkness and despair and defeat. The way you're wondering what's the future, and this when God visits your soul and starts giving you some hope. Obey your faith. It doesn't matter about the circumstances. Doesn't matter even when the Lord's not answering in the time frame you thought that He should answer. Doesn't matter when you're fasting and praying and sometimes it seems the heavens are still quiet. Obey your faith.
Amen.
There'll still be something inside of there at that time that will be encouraging you along. There'll still be something inside of you that's saying, just persevere, just keep pushing on. And that's what she did. Jesus said He wasn't even sent to her race. He says, if that had been some of you Pentecostals today, you would have stuck your nose in the air and walked away. Would have been disappointed. And say, I'm not going to go to that church, I'm going to go to the oneness. He says, people will say, I don't have to put up with no such stuff as that. Now the way God deals with us, friends, like we said at communion service last week, God's will is a fragile thing. Be careful at those kind of times. Be careful how you react to disappointments. Be careful how you react to setbacks. Because you can sense inside of yourself, God is near. God wants to do something, but be careful at those kind of times. And she was very careful at that kind of a time. She could have said a lot of things, but she didn't at that time. The prophet says, that's the reason the miracles is gone from the church. Because people give up in the middle of the process. People get disappointed. People get discouraged when the process is only half the way through. You've done well. You've come to the feet of Jesus. You know, you've just about got there. Then another setback comes. Why? The Bible speaks about the trial of your faith. God's going to test your faith. God's going to say, it's good the way she's praying, but I know there's another depth that I can bring out of there. If I just ignore her a little bit longer, it's going to bring even a deeper desperation. It's going to bring something from deeper in the soul the longer that I deal with her. And God knew that. And that's why God had to put her through that. Because He knew what was in her. He knew what was going to come out of her in that season. But He had to put her in that situation. And it seemed hard. Maybe the disciples were looking and saying, but hey, the master's not in a good mood today. You know, hey, well, why is he doing this to this woman? But those who had a spiritual discernment, they knew all things work together for good. There's a purpose here. Nothing happens to a believer by chance. God is behind every move. And the moment we forget that, and God is sometimes like we said on Wednesday with Jacob in his troubles. Now God is trying to press a person to a place where they're going to really be squeezed out of themselves. You know, where Israel is going to manifest and Jacob's going to pass off the scene. They aren't easy times, friends. And God was trying to put her in this spiritual condition at this time to bring forth a certain spiritual something from her soul that He was going to record in His word and say, this is what I'm looking for. And the prophet says, that's the reason you don't see miracles anymore. Because we get to that point and then we drop away. Yeah? He says, that's the reason the faith is gone from the church. Because if she had have got to that place and then listened to her reasonings and listened to circumstances and gone back, would have destroyed her faith. That faith, I mean, she would have really covered that faith to such an extent that it would hardly ever have been able to disclose itself once again. And those are the crucial times, friends. And you feel those times in your life. There's those sensitive times in your spiritual walk. There's those certain seasons that you know God is trying to do something here, but the devil's fighting as well. There's a lot taking place. At those kind of times, be careful. Be careful the way you react. Be careful where you spend your time. Spend as much time in His presence as you can. Spend as much time meditating and fellowshipping upon what He's trying to say to you from His word at that time. Feed your faith. Fellowship with people of like precious faith at that time. Spend a lot of time in prayer if you can. Because this is now, what do they call it? You know, when things are in the balance there. You know, you just got to be careful because you don't want to overbalance at the other side. You know, things at that critical time now in the process. Be careful at that time on the scales. You want to obey your faith at those kind of times. The prophet says, even Jesus, the very God, listened to it. the very God that she was going to worship and change her thoughts and come and believe on him. When she arrived at him, she got a cold shoulder. He didn't pay any attention to her, friends. And if you continue on, if you read it in Matthew, it says, then the disciple says, Master, get rid of this woman. She's troubling us. She's just making a lot of noise.
Hallelujah.
Friends, hallelujah. It was going to be easy for her to be disappointed at that time. It was going to be easy for her to look and say, but hey, what kind of church is this? Now I try to come to this man. I hear that he heals the sick and he doesn't even answer me anything. And then in the time when he's cried, all the rest of these people are saying these things to me now. The good thing is she obeyed her faith.
Amen.
The prophet says that. When she arrived, she got a cold shoulder. He says she wasn't a hybrid flower. You take a hybrid flower. It doesn't genetically have what it takes to stand the conditions. It may look good on the outside, but it never came from God. It came from the will of man. Therefore, it can't stand the pressure. But you take a genuine plant, a cactus, planted out there, right in the desert. Let it not see rainfall for 2 years. Genetically, it's been made in a way it can withstand those conditions. That's the difference between a hybrid. And the prophet says, you don't have hybrid faith. Let it be something genuine from God. God doesn't produce a hybrid product. God produces the genuine article. And the born-again soul of a believer is a genuine article. It's a seed that came from God. It's a seed that already has in it what is required to overcome the conditions. If you'll just allow it to express itself. Don't allow it to get crumpled over with all manner of things. Weighed down. But she was a genuine article, the prophet says. So the prophet says that. He says she wasn't a hybrid flower. He says, but even when she got there, he said, I'm not sent to your race, and besides that, they're nothing but a bunch of dogs. Remember what Jesus said? He says, it's not good to take the children's bread and to give it to the dogs. Because Gentiles were called dogs by the Jews. The prophet says the most unclean animal was a dog to the Jews. And this Jesus says to her, it's not right for me to take the children's bread and give it to you dogs. Friends, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. You're going to have to go through these things. But he says that for a purpose. There's a motive and an objective in the way that he's dealing with her at that time. He's trying to get a manifestation of something from deep within her. From beyond her reasoning, from beyond her own understanding at that time. He's trying to bring an expression from the soul. That's something that he knows is inside of there. And he's trying to bring about a condition that doesn't bring forth this something. And he says to her, it's not good to give the children's bread. The prophet says, oh my, what would we have done? Put yourself there. But that's the same way we are now. You're trying to seek something from God. I'm trying to seek something from God. Doesn't mean it's going to be handed on a plate, friends. The prophet says it so clearly. If you're going to get it, you're going to have to fight every inch of the way. God gave the promise to Joshua. Wheresoever the sole of your foot shall trod, I've given it to you. But that you fight for every inch of that land. So for us to get back our inheritance, for us to get back our joy, for us to get back what we are supposed to be here, you think it's going to be easy, friends? It's not going to be easy. We're going to have to fight every step of the way. But what are we called to do? Just obey your faith. If he's the one who started the work, let's come back in that channel. Let's move in that channel once again. And each step at a time, as he tells us, go and do this, go and make that right, go and change that, whatever needs to be done. Let's just keep obeying him. And he's going to keep taking us along the way. He says, yes, she was turned down and called a dog, but she still held on. You see, she had faith. She had been disappointed by all of her friends, everything that was thrown that way. But that only showed that Satan was trying to push back that genuine faith. And you know it yourself at certain times, when certain things happen, it's a counterattack of the enemy. Because your faith is starting to express itself once again. Your faith is starting to go forward to take your inheritance once again. The enemy's got to start pressing back against that. And that's the way that he did it with her. All these disappointments and all these discouragements and things. The prophet says it was showed that Satan was trying to push back that genuine faith. He says, but he can't do it. Because great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. But Satan's greater than your intellect. Satan's greater than your reasoning. Amen. Satan's greater than your feelings, friends. But Satan is not greater than your faith. Satan is not greater than that which God has birthed inside of you. That which God has activated is greater than he that's in the world. And just keep obeying that faith, keep feeding that faith, and God will manifest that in the end. And God is going to manifest it to her. He says, Jesus said, me, I come to heal these. I've come to heal mine, the lost sheep of Israel. Not to come to heal you. Not meat. It's not meat for me to take the children's bread and hand it to you, bunch of dogs. And she said, that's truth, Lord.
Amen.
That's now the acid test. When it gets hard, when he's not answering, or when correction comes, or when God is dealing faithfully with your soul to bring you to the promise, it's easy to rebel. It's easy. The prophet says in the message, ever-present water from the rock, he says, Israel, when they got into the testing time before the promise, that's where many rebel and go back. But he says it here, faith will always recognize that the word is true.
Amen.
Genuine faith in you. If the word comes, friends, you might be in the word, and God will come and correct you.
Amen.
And God will come and show you, you are wrong here. You need to change this in your attitude. You need to change this in your life. You need to change this in your conduct. It may be hard, but that faith is going to say, that's truth, Lord. That's truth, Lord. And that's a key on the way to the promise. Obey your faith. Let your faith express itself. Don't let your feelings get in the way. Don't let your temperament that you were born with govern you at that kind of a time. But humble yourself. Submit yourself and let your faith express itself. I know, you know, I've seen it many times. We were saying it on Wednesday as well. So, you know, the hardest thing for us to do as people, like with Jacob, is to face up to who we really are.
Amen.
Now, for Jacob to really face up to the fact that he was Jacob, he was a deceiver, a supplanter, although he had had a lot of religious experiences. He had seen angels, received covenant promises from God. But for us to really face up to who we really are is one of the most difficult things. Because the moment God wants to put us in a situation to come and show us who we really are, so that he can change us into what we're supposed to be, we want to run away. We want to blame somebody else. It was his fault. It was her fault. It wasn't me. It was the woman you gave me. It was the serpent. You know, Lord, I was born like this. I've always been like that. Why don't people understand me? We have all these things. And God, with Jacob, he had to bring him to a situation where he could run no more. Put him in a situation, crippled him up, touched his thigh and said, okay, now you can't run anymore. Now it's just you and me. And now you need to see yourself the way that I see you. That's not easy, friends. But that's death before life can come forth. That's the process. You've got to be cast in the ground and die. It's not easy, friends. None of us want those kind of things, but it's a necessary process in bringing forth Israel.
Amen.
And Jacob couldn't go anywhere, and then God came down, and he felt, Jacob, God is here.
Amen.
And he laid hold of the angel of the Lord. And then he says, I won't let you go unless you bless me.
Amen.
And then the Lord says to him, what is your name? He says, you need to confess your name in my presence. And then maybe Jacob starts to think, oh, I'm Jacob. I'm Jacob with Laban. I'm Jacob with the birthright. I'm Jacob with the blessing. I'm Jacob always making my own way out of situations. I'm Jacob always escaping my own way from difficult situations. And then when he confesses his name in the presence of the angel of the Lord, the covenant angel, he says, I'm Jacob. It's like we need to do that, friends. Lord, I still got some Jacob here. But Lord, I want to be Israel.
Amen.
Then he prevailed with God and he overcame. And then God says, you won't be called Jacob anymore.
Amen.
You'll be called Israel.
Yeah.
Friends, those are the critical junctions in life. They're not easy junctions. You know what it's like. But at those kind of times, obey your faith. Don't give in to your feelings. Don't give in to your reasoning. Don't give in to the way you want things to be done at that time. Let God have His wonderful way. Because nothing happens to a believer without there being a reason behind it. He has a purpose that He's trying to bring forth something from you that He knows is inside of there, that He predestined in you. And the only way that He knows He's going to get it out, He's got to bring you like Jacob to Peniel so that you see God face to face. And when you see God, you see yourself. And you realize who you really are, and God does the work inside of you. But this woman here, when the Lord started to deal faithfully with her, and the word came, it was a difficult word for her. It was hard for her to accept that I'm a dog. You know, He's not sent to me in this dispensation. That children's bread is not for me. What did she say? She says, "Truth, Lord." Oh, friends, that was the key. She said, "Truth, Lord." The prophet says, faith will always admit that the word is true. Now, if you want to hold on to a creed, go ahead. That's your own religious understanding as a creed. But faith, real, genuine faith, admits that the word is truth. Ah, friends. That's a key. You can tell God is giving you grace. You know, there's a saying they say that you kiss the hand that smites you. When God is correcting you, at first we rebel. We don't want it to be like that. But there comes a time where you see the goodness of God in your correction. There comes a time you see the purpose of God behind what He's doing to you. And then instead of that being a frustration to you at that time, you kiss that very hand that's smiting you at that time. It's like when His truth is coming and He's trying to deal faithfully with you at that time, you say, "That's truth, Lord." You've come beyond reasoning now. You've come beyond defending yourself now. And you're just saying, "Lord, that's true. Lord, You are right and I'm wrong. Lord, just have mercy upon me. Lord, just have Your own way." That's a good place for your soul to get to, friends, but it's going to be a struggle to get there. There's going to have to be some overcoming to get there. But once you get there and you're saying to the Lord, in the midst of difficulty like that, you're saying, "That's truth, Lord." Oh, friends, that pleases God immensely. Because that pleased Jesus immensely that day when she said that. She said, "Truth, Lord. But the puppies eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table." That was a masterpiece that she said. She said, "Yes, Lord, I'm not asking for all the big loaves of bread there. No, the covenant promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promises of the Messiah, all those things there, I may not understand all those things, but Lord, my daughter needs healing. I'm just asking for a little bit of the bread. Let a crumb just fall down. The crumbs that are given to the dogs under the table, let me just have a crumb." You know what the prophet calls her? It said she was a crumb hunter. Ah, friends, we need to be crumb hunters sometimes. To be saying, "Lord, just give me what I need at this time. Lord, there's far greater promises, but at this time I just need the crumbs. Lord, I'm not asking for a lot of other things, but Lord, You see my need now. You may see my situation." The prophet says she was searching for crumbs. He says, "And unless you come up with the right kind of approach, you're not going to get anything." You see her approach at that kind of a time. Ah, friends, no matter what happened, no matter how much the word pushed her this way, the word pushed her that way, no matter how much she was ignored, no matter what the disciples said, but she continued somehow by the grace of God to stay in the channel of her faith. And she continued to obey that faith, and she let that faith express itself. And she said, "Truth, Lord." Now, I'll just finish it off with the other message, perseverance. The prophet says, speaking about her, he says, "Finally, she made her way through all these obstacles, and she arrived at Jesus." He says, but if she hadn't have had that kind of faith, the first discouragement, she would have blown up and went back. She had a certain kind of faith. Friends, this was a real, real, genuine faith. In such an unlikely place, in such an unlikely vessel. The prophet says, faith doesn't do that. Faith doesn't turn it loose. Faith is persistent. It holds right on. And she had all confidence and faith in this man. She was saying, "Lord, I don't understand what You do." It's like if you read the book of Job. Job was this kind of a man. When God took away his children, took away all of his goods, made his friends turn against him at that time, what did he do? He obeyed his faith. He built an altar. He worshipped the Lord. He says, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the same as saying, truth, Lord. Lord, I don't understand all of this, but I know that you're right. The prophet says that happened at the bedside when Sharon Rose was dying. He says, and the devil came in that visible form and said all those things against God and told the prophet he was wasting his time. How can you serve a God like this? And the prophet says, everything he was saying to me was the truth. He says, but he was trying to work from the outside, the reasoning, into the inner man here. He says, and it got to the place I was about to say. He says, and something rose up from within. That was his faith. And said, who am I anyhow? Who gave me this baby? Who gave me this wife? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Get behind me, Satan. Oh, friends. We need that kind of faith. Don't we need that kind of faith, friends? Oh, friends, that kind of faith is like gold, more precious than gold that perishes. That's what it says, because the more it goes through the fire, the purer it becomes. The fire just separates the fool's gold from the genuine thing. And in those kind of situations, to be able to say to the Lord, truth, Lord, that's a powerful kind of a thing. So he says, he speaks about, now she went back to him again. And she said, Lord, can't I just have it? And she wasn't thinking about what she had come through. She never dwelt upon that, the disappointments. She wasn't thinking about what she would have to go through. The only thing she knew, she believed if she could just get him to say so. If I can just get him to speak into my situation, the situation's going to change. If I can just get him to turn his face towards me at this time and just speak personally into my situation, the situation's going to change. And she said, I don't care about what I've had to go through. I don't care about what's coming in the future when I get back home and all those kind of things. But now, Lord, even I'm pleased. Speak to me, Lord. Speak into my situation. Now, he then goes on now, the prophet, to speak about Martha. Because he's speaking about this woman's approach to God. And then he speaks about, in that kind of a time, Martha's approach to Christ. He says, Martha, when she went to meet Jesus. Now, if there's anybody who had a right to condemn, it would have been Martha. If there's anybody who had a right to have a bad attitude towards Jesus, it was Martha. After all that Mary and Martha and Lazarus had done for Jesus, and all that they'd been through, standing for him. We know that he was the stumbling stone in that age, like he is in every age. But they were willing to separate. They were willing to bear the reproach of the word in their day. And then have Jesus in their home and minister to Jesus through all the time. He loved going to their house in Bethany. And he was friends, and they were friends with him. And then he goes away, and then Lazarus gets sick, and they send to Jesus, and he doesn't come. And he goes further away when they send him to say, Master, you know, he that you love is sick. And Jesus doesn't answer them a word. But he goes, and then Lazarus dies, and they put Lazarus in the tomb, and it's the fourth day since he's died. The prophet says, if there's anyone who had a right to condemn, it was Martha. He says, but as I said last night, she had a right to seemingly, but she didn't have a right to. That's the key, friends. Your circumstances, you might look at your circumstances, but I've got a right to be disappointed in Jesus. But the prophet says, you don't have a right to. Because he does all things well. He knows what he's doing. There was a reason he didn't come. He was building things up to a place that he could get from them something that he couldn't have got if he came when Lazarus was lying sick on the sick bed. There was a divine purpose. There was a divine motive behind the way Jesus was dealing with him at that time. But the devil tries to come in at those kind of a times and bring all kinds of disappointments. The prophet says she didn't have a right to. He says, as I said last night, you've got no thought. You've got no right to think anything, friends, about the Lord. I've got no right. He says, it's his thought, see? It's what he does. Amen. Jesus had his thought concerning that situation. Jesus was doing something at that time, but it was a mystery. You know, Martha and Mary didn't understand the great purposes of God at that time. But God was bringing things to a certain climax. He was trying to bring things to a certain spiritual condition so that he could do something to them that he had never done before. But in the midst of that, it was easy for them to reason it out. They said, this isn't fair. Why is it like this? The prophet says, you have no thought. It's his thoughts that's the most important one. The prophet says, thy will be done. It says, Jesus said, pray like this. Listen now. It says, God is not an errand boy. He's God.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. So when you cry out and think God's got to answer me now and he doesn't, he's not an errand boy, friends. He's not an errand boy. He doesn't have to do it in our time frame. He doesn't have to relieve your pressure straight away. He doesn't have to change the circumstance immediately because this is his thoughts we're speaking about. But his thoughts are good. He says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. He's trying to bring things to a certain place. And if you can just obey your faith at that time, when the disappointments come, get back in tune with your faith. Feed your faith. Let your faith express it once again at that time. And just keep moving on. Though you don't understand it, though you may have every reason, all of Job's comforters will come around and tell you 25 different reasons that you have to be grieved with God at a time like that. But faith doesn't recognize that. Faith always says, that's truth, Lord. You are right, Lord. You know what you're doing, Lord. You are more faithful than I, Lord. Faith will always recognize God in his position. That's how the prophet says, when she got to him, Martha, we're coming to a close, she approached him in the right way. Now that's the key. Just keep approaching him the right way. Don't let all these other things affect the way you approach him. Like we saw on Wednesday, was it last week, when you come to the Lord and say, Lord, you owe me an explanation, like the prophet says, God's going to leave you sitting there quiet for a while because God doesn't owe you anything. The prophet says, we the ones that are in debt to him. He doesn't owe us anything. So we've got to approach the way the Syrophoenician did. We've got to approach him even in those critical junctions. In those disappointing dark times, imagine, the prophet says, Martha and Mary, they've got their black robes on them. They've got the black veil on them. It's a dark time. It's a disappointing time. All hope is laying in the tomb. They've rolled the gravestone. And Lazarus, who was the breadwinner of the family, he's laying dead and buried for 4 days. Was that easy circumstances? It seemed there was no hope. It seems all hope had got buried. It was a dark time. But the wonderful thing, that's when Jesus comes and calls. He specializes in coming in the darkest hour. He comes when it's midnight on a stormy sea. Then Jesus came walking to them on the sea. Don't react too quickly. Don't make decisions too quickly. Obey your faith. Just keep obeying the faith at that kind of a time. Let it go through. Let's see what he has in his mind. Let's see what his thoughts are at the end of this process that he started when he spoke to your soul. He'll never disappoint us, friends. He'll never disappoint you if you'll allow it to come to the end. But be careful of your approach to him at those kind of times. The prophet says, Martha, although she was dressed in her veil, though she was, her eyes were red from weeping, though the house was full of mourners, though there was that atmosphere of defeat and discouragement upon the whole place, when she heard that Jesus had come, she did the right thing. She obeyed her faith. She went to where he was at. She didn't stay down there mourning in her calamity and mourning, oh, why didn't he come? Something spoke to her. Somebody told her, the master's come. And she went to him. The prophet says, she approached him the right way. She said, she gave him his right title. She said, Lord. Imagine she comes and falls at the feet of Jesus and says, Lord, if you had have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. At that kind of time, to give him from your soul his position as Lord, you're my Lord, ruler, ownership, friends. That pleased him. That pleased him. And it pleases him today, I do believe. If we keep giving him his position as Lord, keep approaching him the right way at that kind of a time. Let your faith lead you to approach him in that kind of a season. Now he says, listen how he says. He says, she approached him right upon her knees. That's how she approached him. She fell on her knees at his feet and she approached him like that. And friends, in certain seasons, the best thing to do, stay on your knees. Stay on your knees. Just keep approaching him on your knees. Just keep speaking to him on your knees. Just keep giving him his position. Even when it's hard, you say, that's truth, Lord. Lord, that's true. Lord, that's hard for me, but that's true. Lord, that's hard for me, but that's good for me. Lord, if you're dealing with me like this now, you know it's for my good. Because the pounding of the gold is to bring out all the impurities so that the beater can see his face reflected. And he'll look at us sometimes, he doesn't see a perfect reflection. So he has to take us through that process once again. Friends, it's not easy. The potter's wheel. But when she was approaching him, she came on her knees and she said, Lord, even now, Lord, whatever you ask, God, God will give it to you. That's what her faith was saying. Lord, he's dead. All hope is gone. He's buried. He's rotten in the tomb. We saw them putting the gravestone on the tomb 4 days ago. But even now, Lord. Even now, Lord. Even now. You can resurrect this situation. Even now, Lord, you can bring life where there's death. Even now, Lord, you can bring a victory where there's discouragement. Even now, Lord. Oh, friends, why don't you approach him like that? And say, Lord, it's been hard, but even now, Lord, you can change the situation. Lord, it hasn't been an easy time for me in my life, but Lord, my faith is persuading me that your time has come. And Lord, as I approach you on my knees, Lord, even now, Lord. Do something even now, Lord. And that moved him. When she said, even now, Lord. And then he said to her, where did you bury him? And then he went and he says, you don't really know where I am, but oh, you've moved me. That faith that was born in you has spoken unto me. And something has quickened inside of me. Then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now I'm going to show you who it is that I really am. But she had to approach him the right way at that kind of a time. Listen, in closing, how the prophet says she approached the gift the right way. She had to approach him in that kind of a way. But it's an easy thing. He said she had the right approach to God's gift. That was the Logos in the man. That same Logos that is in the message of the hour. She approached that Logos in him the right way, on her knees. And she spoke and said, if you can just speak into my situation. Lord, if you would just look down on me, I don't deserve it, Lord. I'm not demanding it from you, Lord, but my faith. Something inside of me is leading me to ask you of this. Even now, Lord. And she approached him the right way. The prophet says, and remember, she was the first one, speaking of the Syrophoenician, the first one Gentile that God ever did work a miracle on. She was the first Gentile because she approached it the same way, right way. Friends, in these kind of seasons, let's keep approaching things the right way. Let's try to approach the message the right way. Let's approach one another the right way. Now let's approach things on our knees at this time and let's speak to him. And now whatever he tells us to do, let's try to do it with all our hearts. Let's try to do it faithfully. And if something comes and it condemns us or something comes to correct us, let's not react in the flesh. Let's not react as human beings, but let's go before him once again. Even if our feelings get hurt, even if you feel disappointed about something, let's bring ourselves with the right approach on our knees before him once again and let your faith express itself. And you'll end up saying to him, that's truth, Lord. I deserve that, Lord. It was necessary for me to go through that, Lord, because God is good in all his ways. Remember when they came that time and Jesus was at the wedding in Cana? And there wasn't enough wine. And they came to Mary and they asked her what to do. And she said, whatever he says to you, do it. And friends, that's the key. Whatever he says to you, do it. He knows how to change the situation. That may look, whatever it looks like, but just obey that faith. Just obey that something that is moving in you in those kind of seasons. Because God is good, friends. He'll never put too much upon you. He'll never put you through a situation that's too much for you to bear. But he'll always make a way of escape. He'll let you go so far to teach you a lesson, then he'll come to you. And he'll speak to your soul. And he'll start moving your faith at that time. And he'll say, if you seek me with all your heart now, you're going to be found of me. And when you come into his presence, come the right way. Speak to him the right way. And he'll reveal himself that he can resurrect that situation. Because he's the resurrection and the life. And at Easter time, springtime, friends, when new life comes, when new hope comes, he is the resurrection and he is the life. Let's stand, saints. Let's come to a time of worship, a time of prayer. And let's really seek the Lord to have his wonderful way in these kind of times. Let's sing that song again that we sang before. Tempted and tried, we're often made to wonder why it should be thus. But it says we'll understand it better by and by. Just obey your faith.
Tempted and
tried, we're often made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the road further alone we know all about it. Further alone we understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and dread. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Further along about it, further along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful King. Forever alone we'll know all about it. Forever alone we'll understand why. Cheer up,
my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. We're alone, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
Let's not forget, friends, the calling that you're called to. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Let's sing that song, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. Where are you going to? On my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching. Let's get back in line. Let's get back in step. The prophet God in the spirit and the dreamer said, stay in line. Because it's easy to start getting out of line, the harmony of God's dealings with you in your life. Let's get back in line. Let's march onwards once again. Because the journey goes upwards. What a wonderful march it is.
I am a pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. On my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in, oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in, oh I know I'll see my Savior, if my life is free from sin. Heaven's doors will open for me, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when we gather around the throne, and the gates are closed within, I'll be shouting, glory, glory, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in. I am waiting for the chariot to swing low, and I'll step in. On the clouds I'll ride to heaven, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in, when the saints go marching in. Oh Lord, I want to be in that number, when the saints go marching in.
pilgrim and a stranger, wandering through this world of sin. I'm on my way to that fair city, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. When the saints go marching in. Oh, Lord, I want to bring that number. When the saints go marching in. I am waiting for my Savior.
When the morning comes, we know
the saints of God will gather home. We'll tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, we know the saints of God are gathered home. We will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests of succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have ruled the wave, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for many thoughtless words. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story how we've overcome, for we'll understand it better by and by. And friends, it doesn't matter what the devil says to you, you justify it. It's like you never did it in the first place. If you just confessed and said, Lord, I'm Jacob. He's forgotten who Jacob is. All that you did as Jacob is under the blood. Submit yourself to him and manifest what Israel really is. What you and I were called to be in this age. Let's sing that song, Justified. Justified. Never did it in the first place.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I've made mistakes. I can't hide from Him He knew. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again with you. Oh, justify.
justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
So often
I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall, 'cause you promised I'd be victorious when I knew I'm not at all. Then I heard an eagle scream, its voice quickened my soul. You said you've not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
He looked at
your perfect picture without spleen, spot or wrinkle. He didn't look at you where you are now. He looked from eternity. He said you're just trapped in that body. You bypassed your theophany. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Oh, justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. Oh, justified. Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified. 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 You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Let's bow our heads. Let's just come to a time we put ourselves before the Lord before we go, friends. The best person you can speak to is Him. The person of the Word Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the best one that you can speak from your soul is to Him. And why don't you just express what's inside of your soul? Friends, He's not impressed by the words that we say. He's not impressed by all of those other things. But there's an approach that we can bring when we acknowledge that He's right. And all that He says and all that He does is the truth. And though you may look at yourself and say, but this wasn't fair and that wasn't fair, whatever you feel inside of your life, but He knows what He's doing. He knows where He's trying to get you. And why don't you just bring your soul unto Him just to get your faith in tune once again, so that you can obey that faith. And whatever He speaks to you, however He leads you, just keep following that. It'll never let you down. It'll never fail. Faith doesn't know defeat. Whatever you need, put yourself before the Lord before we go. Let's pray for one another in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh Lord Jesus, just bring in my brothers and finish with that song, I bless your name, I bless your name. Just one announcement. There's a good chance next weekend, Brother Crosby phoned me yesterday in the afternoon. There's a good chance we may have Brother George Martin with us next weekend. It's not yet confirmed, he's getting in tomorrow, but Brother Crosby phoned to say, please, brother, there's a good opportunity that he could be free next weekend and he would like to come. So I said, please, when he gets in from South Africa tomorrow, speak to him. We'll always make a way for him because he's a good friend of ours. So please be in prayer for that. If he does come, it would mean we'd have Saturday service and Sunday. So if he does, then we'll put our prayer meeting, if it's okay, to Wednesday to pray for the weekend services. Really asking the saints to look, please try to support the prayer meetings. They really do help if people do unite together in prayer. You know, it's a wonderful thing for the people to come and to pray. It would help us a lot at this time. They're really encouraging saints to be there.
In prisoners chained with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night. To see their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you glory. I give you praise. Are alive, the truth away. I bless your name. I bless your name. Some midnight hour, if you should find you're in a place and in your mind, reach out and pray, divide those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name. I give you glory, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth of me. I bless your name, I bless your name. So if you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I give you glory. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth of me. I bless your name. I bless your name. If you find that in your life you're in the midst of time so hard, reach out by faith to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. Bless your name. I bless your name. I give you glory. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth of me. I bless your name. I bless your name.
Father, just to give ourselves unto Thee once again upon this day. Father, how wonderful it is that we can come unto Thee, Lord, in that precious name. Father, that we can come unto the throne of mercy. Lord, the throne of grace, even upon this day. And as we had come, Father, we just want to bring ourselves before Thee. Father, all that we need is Your grace, just Your mercy, Lord. Father, as the prophet would say, we do not desire Your justice, Lord. Father, who could stand in Your justice? But Father, just Your grace, just Your mercy. And Father, we come by the way of the blood. We come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You, Lord, for access. We thank You for grace and mercy. Lord, You see every heart. You see every home that's represented here. You see every desire. You see every need of Your people, even at this time, Lord. And Jesus, we just look unto You. Father, every need that we have is an opportunity. And Lord, how we just desire that persistence, that perseverance. Just to follow, Lord, Your leadership, Lord, is our desire. That You may lead us and guide us, Lord, to the promise. Lord, to possess the gate of every enemy. Oh, Father, bless Your people upon this day. Father, anoint our faith. Quicken our faith, Lord. Father, even as we wait upon Thee in the message of the hour in our homes and our cars, Lord. Father, let it be, Lord, the bread of life unto us, Lord. Father, speak unto us, Lord. Lead us in the way that You'd have us to go. Feed our souls is our desire. Even if we think if Brother George would come next weekend to minister to us, Lord. Father, I just want to really pray for him. Give him a safe journey, Lord. Overshadow him with Your glory. Father, bring him our way, Lord, and speak unto us and minister to us, Lord. And Father, move us further down the way, we ask and we pray. Father, raise us up and be glorified in all things, Lord. Father, pray for Brother Shep. Touch him there at home. The saints that will be traveling home, I do pray for them. Them that at work upon this day, dedicate them up unto Thee. Father, Your people maybe who could have been here, aren't. We just remember them before Thee, Lord. Draw nigh unto them, Father, Lord. Father, visit them with Your virtue inside of their souls, Lord. And lead us and guide us in this season, we ask and pray. That, Lord Jesus, You may be glorified. Father, that is our desire, that You may glorify Your name. That You may manifest Yourself, Lord. Father, give us wisdom. Give us of Your counsel. Give us, Lord, Father, grace to be strong. To go forth, Father, no matter what it is, that, Lord, we need to face up to whatever needs to be done. Lord Jesus, we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Bless the visitors in our gates. Father, bless Sister Jessica, Lord. We thank You that You brought her back again. Bless her, we pray. Establish her and lead her and guide her, Lord. And Father, and all else that Father lays before us, even Your people gathering around the country, Lord. Brother Christian, the saints, bless them, Lord. And Brother Tom and the saints, and Brother Billy, Brother George Quinn, we lift them up unto Thee, Lord. Father, bless Your bride. Touch Your people. Lead us with Your blessing as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, let's dismiss. Wouldn't mind just seeing Brother Will and Brother Dave before we go. If that would be okay, Brother Will or Brother David. God bless you, saints. I'll let everybody know as soon as I hear from Brother George Martin whether he'll be here next weekend. We should know tomorrow or Tuesday. So let's pray about that. Amen.
Take the name of Jesus, be a child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and forgive you. Take it then wherever you are.